Hey, Mark, I was listening to Paramore the other day, and it really made me think about the amygdala and the limbic system.
You just made those words up, didn't you?
What, Paramore?
We're the Nevermind the Music podcast, where one musician
and one psychologist
talk songwriting and the mind, one song at a time.
We'll hear everything from Green Day and Outkast
to Stevie Wonder and Dua Lipa.
And we mostly try to stay on topic.
Except for when we don't want to.
Nevermind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows. Only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. With me on Pick the Flick podcast, with me, we're going to be doing our Penguin episode 4 review. Titani is the name of the episode. So, let's grab you a nice pizza pie, and we're going to go ahead and dissect the Penguin. So let's go on ahead and let's do it, just like how Mario would do it, and let's go. Hey, what's going on, Pick the Flick?
Hey, you know, it's a shame they didn't cast you in House of Gucci. You would have been the perfect man.
That's exactly how they talk, too, and then got on my nerves, and yet I'm
you wrecked my heart.
I'm such a perfect threat. By the way, that's actually probably one of my best impressions of Jared Leto doing that voice.
Perfect. You break up my heart. That's beautiful.
You're breaking my heart. But now, anyways, enough about House of Gucci. We're here to do Penguin. So I have to say, I really enjoyed this episode. These episodes just keep on getting better and better at every single time. I know that I keep on saying this, but it's actually true. Like, there's not a bad episode so far. Yeah, they might slow down the pacing or whatever, but within the pacing itself, it's great storytelling.
Yeah.
It's what I call cinema, but on a small screen.
That's what I said.
But what did you think, I mean, of the overall episode, and then we'll go into the dissecting.
I was so traumatized. I was not expecting the episode to go so dark, so fast. I was just like, oh. Let's go to Vietnam, a little backstory. It's about Sophia. There's 6 minutes, and I'm like, oh. And then I keep going, oh. And then it makes so much more sense as to why she ends up the way she is, which we're going to get into. But, man, I mean, the storytelling is just improving more and more as it goes on. And really.
I agree. It was
a good piece of cinematography. I got to tell you, it's good. Good.
Definitely. But the thing that I really like, okay, so it goes into the whole entire deal where we left Oz at. Before Victor runs the other goons over with the car. But I like how, you know, he's over there, Oz is over there begging for his life like he normally does. And, you know, you see Sophia just looking at him. He goes, I'm on your side. Do not kill me. I can, trust me. And it's everything that he recited to Sophia. And Sophia's going in her mind. Because of all the shit that he talked to her about and everything, trying to get him to trust her.
Right.
And now it's like, okay, this is a game that you got are playing.
Exactly.
With me, the Maronis, everybody is part of this little plan that she doesn't even know what he's orchestrating.
It took 4 episodes.
Right? But
we got there.
But I like how it goes into that whole deal where, okay, Victor runs over the goons. Then from her POV, from her vision, you see them take off. And he's like, fuck Sophia.
Fuck
her. Like, yeah, it's bad. She's a GRG. I'm like, this is not good. Man. She also banged her head up against something, too. So that's not good.
She got messed up bad.
Yeah. So now she's pissed off at him. Then I like how it goes into the whole entire flashback now of where she got to this point of where she's out of Arkham and she's flashing, giving us a glimpse into her world and stuff. And then, of course, I like the fact, too, that it shows Oz driving her as well and the respect that she has for Oz, though, at that time. Because even her brother's like, it's okay. The penguin's gonna drop me off or something to that effect. And she's like, don't call him that.
Don't call him that.
So I like the fact that she has a little bit of respect for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, and in the flashback, Sophia's shown heading a foundation named after her mother, Isabella, whom she found to have hanged herself when she was younger. She is friends with Oz, who works as her chauffeur while leaving a charity event. Sophia is questioned by a reporter named Summer Gleason. And this is something else that I want to mention is this, okay? You can tell that the father, the Falcone family, wanted Sophia to be the boss at that time. It was setting up for her to be the boss. Because, you know, the brother's off doing his own thing. He doesn't care about the family business or anything like that. But Sophia is around and seeing everything that's going on and knows how the business is actually run. And so I like that thing where even the father's like, you know what, my daughter's going to be the one who winds up taking the reins, not my son. So it goes to show you just because the times back in the day where a man would be in charge of the family, he was doing something very different that you would never see in an Italian family. Which I thought was really cool on how they play that narrative up with a modern day spin of it, because you would never see that. And I even mentioned that too in the Sopranos second season.
Right.
But what did you think?
Starting off with the flashback, it felt kind of strange seeing Oz play Sega Banana to Sophia, driving Miss Sophia. But like you said, it would have been a totally different movie. But it seems like she was set up to be something great within the family, and all these things down the line happened. It's such a shame because she had, you know, great potential to kind of lead things before things kind of made a little bit of a left turn and it just kept getting lower and lower. But it was nice that I could have a flashback where she wasn't as, you know, bothered and the reality hasn't exactly set in.
No, but... You know, this is something also I wanted to talk about was like the fact that the reporter comes up to her and goes, look, there was these other women that got killed and got hung the same way that your mom got hung. And it makes her start questioning things like, okay, that is very odd. And she starts asking her own father, which is a big mistake. Number one, your dad is not running Denny's restaurant. He's a mob. You already know... Sophia's not being blinded by anything that's going on in her own family to know what kind of person he is. But you're going to ask this man about your mother. Look, if she just hung herself and that was the story, let her be hung. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, just let it be. I understand you have questions, but you already know that your father's a mob boss. It's not like he's operating Denny's and you're going to be taking over the Denny's franchise. Even though I like the Grand Slam breakfast, but you know, that's another story.
She better be lucky that this is the Penguin and not the Godfather, because she wouldn't have been sent to Arkham if she was in the Godfather universe.
My goodness. But I like the fact that, you know, you have the father who once believed in her, and then that happens, and it's like, oh, my daughter knows a little too much, so therefore, now I have to find a way to exile her. I don't want to kill her or anything, because she's my daughter. Right. So I'm going to exile her to Arkham. At least with Johnny Vitti, he was just going to go on and send her off to Italy. But
Johnny Vitti.
But I like the full fact, though, of the father who's like, you know what? I'm just going to exile you to Arkham and then let you be insane. Let people think that you're insane because I'm going to pin you for the murders that I've done. And not only the murders that I've done, but probably even pin you, well, can't pin her for the murder of the mother, but just pin her for the other murders that he's done, including the reporter. Mm-hmm. So it just goes to show you how messed up he actually is.
Just evil.
Yeah. But what are your thoughts towards all this between the reporter and then?
I have nothing positive to say about her father after all of that. I kind of liked how the story kind of built up to it. I kind of got that vibe from the dinner scene early on. He's acting all vague, like, oh, your mother is such a strong-willed woman. I tried to help her, but she didn't want it. So I took another way around. And then you kind of got that reveal later on where it's just like, oh, yeah, you're starting to set a reference. It's just, oh, it's such a very evil way he strings her up in the situation. It goes head to head with the penguin now. I thought he was probably going to be the one I disliked the most, but nah, her father kind of took the cake on that, for sure.
Right, and even Summer keeps on questioning, you know, keeps on going up to her. Like, the second time, you know, first time was about the ice, the whole entire lounge, the club that they're part of and stuff like that, about the workers, and then the second time she questions her again, you're signing up for your own death wish at this point, you know? Because Summer continues asking Sophia for help in gaining access to Carmine's clubs, insisting that the wounds in Isabella's neck were handmade. Right. So, yeah, then at Carmine's birthday party, Sophia is confronted by Carmine over her meetings with Summer, as Oz informed him. Because Oz is a little snitch bitch.
Fucking Oz.
I like how present day Oz is like, I got you. It's going to all work out. I'm on your side. And then you're seeing, it's not only that was it in the past that he ended up doing that to her, because now she's reflecting back on that day. It's like, all this time, Oz has been this asshole to me, acting like he has best intentions for me when he doesn't. And all these men that were supposed to be on my side, that were part of the family, they don't give two shits about me.
Yeah, I love the commitment from Oz, though. He just said, I'm going to make things right. And then you see this episode, it's like, oh, so you were just like this from the get-go. There was just no saving this relationship.
But well, we know what she tells.
She cared, though.
Right, but if you remember what she tells him, she goes, oh, you're going to be fine. You have a penis. You're going to get a promotion.
That was funny. It's sad, but it's true.
But yeah, it's true from a woman's perspective within the whole entire mob scene and stuff like that. And even whenever, if you're not looking at the mob scene at all either, it's like corporate world and stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, your father was about to give you the mob position. He was going to give you the boss position.
He was going to show you the world.
Whole new world.
Right.
But yeah, I just think that the way that she came across him and everything was a big mistake. You don't question the boss. You don't, especially your own father. Even though, here's the thing. In season one of The Sopranos, I know I keep on talking about The Sopranos, but Tony's daughter, also Meadow, she asked Tony, she goes, are we in the mob? He goes, who the fuck told you that? He goes, okay, I got some business partners with the environmental cleanup thing or something like that. And so he kind of BS's it. And that's it. But he doesn't send his own daughter to Oracle. Then again, Tony didn't kill Carmella either. So it was just shows you how dark and twisted the Falcone family are, actually. The Maroni family. I'm kind of confused.
That's all good.
The Falcones are actually the Falcones. I'm sorry.
The Moronis are grieving their henchmen.
Right. That's what they are doing. But yeah. But yeah, then after that, he reveals that she is cooperating with the police into an investigation where Carmine is suspected of murder. When Sophia notes that his hands were hurt on the day she found her mother's corpse, Carmine dismisses her and orders Oz to drive her home. On the way, they are pulled over by William Kinsey and other police officers who arrest Sophia for the murder of the woman. Summer included, she is sent to Arkham Asylum while she is awaiting trial, earning the nickname of the Hangman. So, And then you have Oz pretending that he's fighting for her. It's okay. I'm going to get you out of this.
No, get out of here with that. What's wrong with you? Get your hands off of me. Get your fucking hands off of me.
He's talking about to turn into Denzel Washington.
But it just shows to show you that Oz wants to be the innocent person in this, even though he's not the innocent person.
Exactly. And
he's gaslighting her the whole entire time, even in the past, and trying to act like that nothing's happening, and trying to get a promotion so that way he can be a capo or something.
Half-assed apology. You know, I'm sorry I had to write you out to your father, but you know I had to do it.
No, you didn't. You didn't have to do jack shit. You were just worried about your own self and stuff because all you wanted was a promotion for yourself.
Right.
But at that point, Sophia was right. You have a penis. You were going to get a promotion. You were going to be good, Oz. You didn't have to rat her out. Nobody knew about that stuff other than you.
Right. It was a proper call back to her telling them off for setting her up the last time, the previous episode. So
right. But anything else that you want to add as far as that scene goes? Or
I'm saving all my energy for the whole Arkham segment.
Okay, gotcha. Then after that happens, when Sophia and then I... This is how quick this actually escalates from her getting arrested and her lawyer's there and stuff like that and her brother's there. He goes, look, it's going to be okay. I'm going to get you out of this thing. We're going to be fine. And then it's like, look, you have to do 6 months of art. I'm like, whoa.
And then, how did we get here?
Right? It just shows you how fast this worked and how fast her father operates within the police department itself. Because normally you wait a day, you go into Arkham or whatever. No.
Yeah.
He is right around the whole entire deal of her lawyer talking to her, hey, look, you have to do about 6 months in Arkham, you're gonna be okay. Her brother's like, yeah, you're gonna be fine. 6 months is nothing. Now, trust me, I'm gonna try and get you out of this. I'm sorry. This is gonna happen to you. And she's panicking the whole time. The look on Sophia's on her face is like, oh shit, I'm dead. I cannot handle this. I cannot do this. You guys have to get me out of this. And there's like, look, there's nothing that we can do. And then all of a sudden, the cops come over there, drag her out.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And then tears off. They take off her heels, take off her clothes, hose her down.
That's when I was like, okay, this is too fast for me. Hold on, a minute. Wait a minute. How do we get here?
It's like, it's even too fast for us, but I think it's also a good thing because we're actually experiencing the same thing that Sophia is feeling, the anxiety of it all, and her taking it in. And we're feeling the same kind of emotion as she is. So I like the fact that they're playing around with that as well, as even though they're giving us trauma. But I like the fact that I like the fact of how everything's supposed to be nice and maybe she might get out of this. No, it is like, okay, we got to get this woman out of this interrogation thing and we got to get her into Arkham. So I like that.
My father really said, how do I watch Beyond Scare straight? I'm going to extend that for her for 6 months.
But, and then you have when Sophia notes, let's see here, into an interrogation where Carmine is suspected of murder. When Sophia notes that his hands were hurt on the day she found her mother's corpse, Carmine dismisses her and orders Oz to drive her home. On the way there, okay. Earning the nickname of the human. Okay, she is constantly mocked by the inmates while her doctor, Ventress, I think that's how you say it, subject her to electric shock therapy.
That bastard, Dr. Ventress.
I should have put that in parentheses. That bastard.
That bastard.
Subjects her to electric shock therapy. Nevertheless, Ventress, associates Dr. Rush, is skeptical that Sophia truly committed the crime. 6 months later, Alberto visits Sophia, informing her that Veneris convinced the judge that Sophia was not competent to stand trial, confining her to Arkham indulgently, reaching her breaking point. Sophia kills Magpie, a fellow inmate, before being sedated. So before all that other stuff happens, you see this other inmate that attacks her as soon as she gets
in. Yeah, that redhead lady?
Yeah.
She was insane.
Yeah. Way past insane, to the point that she needs electric shock therapy herself.
Like, 11 from Stranger Things probably needed to take her out the way she was at. Oh, my
God. Then that's how you also know, too, that her father's behind that, too, because he wants her dead. Mm-hmm. Because not only is she in exile now, but now she's also a threat. So, therefore, he's going to try and kill her or just make an example of her, though, in Arkham. Mm-hmm. Which are the way that it goes. You know, just depending on how they're going to do it. But I think he wanted to kill her.
And it's smart that she knew that. She called out that bastard doctor, Ventress.
Right.
You're working for him. You want me to take out this woman to prove a point. I'm not going to do it.
I love that. That's what I liked about it, Sophia. It's like, I'm going to show you that I'm not crazy like these patients are. I'm going to show you that I'm innocent. Mm-hmm. And so she takes the fork and she doesn't use it, but she's going to use it in case that the woman attacks her. But even if the woman attacks her, they're still going to plan the fact that, oh, it wasn't self-defense.
Right.
And so then you have that scene where basically the woman just takes it and she's like, okay, this is just not working. So I'm just going to have to sacrifice my own self.
Yeah, because she keeps saying ended and ended. And I was like, oh my God, it's so much blood. Not expecting what would follow later.
Right.
You get even better than that. Yeah.
But yeah, and then she stabs herself and she dies. And then Sophia is now pinned for that, and now they think that she's clinically insane to the point where she can't stand up in court for a trial. So her brother's like, look, I'm gonna get you out of this thing. I'm sorry, Sophia. I'm sorry this happened. And at this point, Sophia's at a breaking point. It's like, you know what? You're fucking assholes. You ended up accusing me of this, so I might as well do it. I might as well go on ahead and basically, if you're accusing me of doing something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go on ahead and do it. So, what does she do? She ends up seeing the first person she sees. She sees Magpie.
How you doing? Did it go good?
Yeah.
It went bad, dude.
We're going to be best friends.
And that high-pitched voice, I understand. I'm not justifying the kill itself, but I understand. You happen to hear the high-pitched voice. It's like, she's an extra in the Smile movie that's coming out. Like, oh my God.
Please. Right? Because here's the thing. Her voice is so damn annoying. Especially because, you know what? I'm an Aquarius. We're going to be best friends. We're going to... that means you get to stay with me. And Sophia's not having it. At this point, she winds up taking her head, bashing her head at the...
She gives it to her, man.
And she's dead. Like, I'm like, okay. So she's like, at this point, Sophia did kill somebody. So, like I said...
There you go. Yeah, she committed the crime. Congratulations. Right. Now what?
Exactly.
Or shock treatment.
You're not yourself until you have a Snickers bar.
But I also like how the other doctor's like, you know what? What if she didn't do it? And the doctor's also being paid off by her father.
Right.
Because we don't talk about that here.
Careful, doctor. You don't want to get shot, too.
Right. So, you know, the doctors are being paid off. Everybody's being paid off at this point. And, you know, and then it goes back to present day. So Sophia awakens in Rush's office. She laminates the situation and how she has no allies, but comes to realize that the world itself is broken instead of her. She later visits Luca during a family dinner, condemning them to getting her committed to Arkham. So let's talk about this. So all this time, she's been laying on the couch. And here I am thinking that... And here I am, I'm thinking that she's out in the alley, unconscious.
Right, because I was confused. I was like, so did any of this happen? Or did, you know, Julian somehow track her phone and scoop her up and bring her back? I don't know.
It does make you wonder about that. But at the same time, though...
The latter seems likely, but who knows.
Right. But it just seems kind of odd, though, that everything's all jumbled up. But I like the fact that it was like a dream within a dream kind of sequence. It's like herself is actually tearing through her, all, you know what I'm saying, tearing through her own head.
Yeah.
Because you can see the whole, I like the whole entire deal of them, of what's going on in her own head. And then she wakes up at Julian's and he's like, look, if you want to, you can change it. You can change. I'm like, what the fuck did you do? Did you sleep with her?
Two words, scare and crow. Possibility.
Right. Right. Because that's the first thing I thought. I'm like, dude, did you sleep with her? Did you rape her or something? What's going on?
That scene in that episode I was talking about where it got too up close and personal is making me think again.
Right. But even she said it, though, too. She goes, oh, you're enjoying this. You missed that power over at Arkham.
Right.
But at the same time, though, is he though? I just felt like she was more on her side and more puzzled why she's in there than anything else. I felt like the doctor was the main threat. The other doctor.
Yeah, interest.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, what do you think? Do you think that he was actually power hungry, or did you think that he just wanted a piece of Sophia?
Well, allegations with him possibly being another villain aside, I do think that he was trying to play like, oh, yeah, sure, I don't quite believe you. But he did seem like he was trying to hear her out. And it's really that she tried to give her a chance to, you know, explain the story, give her as much help as possible. But I feel like at the same time, I'm not really sure if he just wanted the piece of Sophia like you were asking me. I do think, especially with what happens at the end, he might be needing her services for something else. Something else that he's cooking up. When
right.
He's cooking up. Wait to see.
But yeah, and then she's wearing his clothes. She's like, oh, you like this. You're thriving on this. And I like, right. She's like, there's nothing wrong with me. The world is all busted up and everything, but I'm fine. I'm sane. I'm the sane one. And then she leaves. Because you know what? You're right. Maybe I should take a vacation. Exactly. Maybe I should get and start a new life. So she walks out, and now the old life that she had is behind her, and now she's facing forward. That's what I got out of the whole psychiatry thing. It's like, she's no longer going to use him anymore. That's her old life. This is her new life that she's about to face. And we don't know what she has in store up until she gets back over to the house. And I love how this thing plays out, you know, because of the fact that, you know, she goes back over to the house, and you have everybody there. You have Johnny V there. You have
Johnny V.
But no, you have everybody there, and goes, you know what? You had me sent away in Arkham, exiled me. No, none of you had my back the way you're supposed to have my back. Where were you?
Right, they were writing letters to the judge, telling her, "Oh right. Yeah, she's mentally unwell. Yeah, fuck her. Yeah, send her to Arkham." That was messed up.
It was. It goes to show you that your own family don't even have your back. Blood don't mean nothing.
Even your own family.
Exactly. But then I like how she winds up raising her glass and says, Satani, which means 100 years.
Wow.
And so, what does she do? She goes on ahead and she acts like everything is fine. Goes back up to her. She goes upstairs. And then this happens. She winds up taking takes her little niece downstairs. Hey, baby. And so, anyways, takes the niece downstairs. And she goes, look, my brother and I, we used to think that this was a jungle back when we were little. And she also said, we also have cake because I know you wanted cake. I have a slice of cake just for you. So, she winds up giving her the cake, and they start eating. And this, I like this little moment. It goes to show you that Sophia is not going to hurt this girl. It's not her fault that her parents are dicks, you know? So, anyways, that's what happens. And then it goes into the whole entire deal where she has the gas mask coming on. She's now letting out the gas fumes. She has the windows, one window raised open so that way, at first I thought that was just a thing for her room. But then you find out later on, oh, it's Johnny V's room instead and not in her room. Because I thought, okay, maybe she's going to... After you see this scene being played out where everybody inside the whole entire house is dead, because
they're right. She just put Raid in there. That's just what happened. She put Raid bug spray in there. Everybody's gone.
Everybody's gone. Everybody's dead. And
except
Johnny Vitti.
Johnny fucking Vitti.
But this is what I love about it. This is how well and orchestrated this scene was. I loved how the dark humor worked for me as well, because of the fact that while this is going on, you have this Frank Sinatra kind of style music happening.
Yeah.
And I love how they play that off and have that dark humor of her going through the house and you see all these dead bodies. And then you finally get over to the one room where she left the window open and she has the gun in her hand. She goes, Johnny, wake up. We got to talk.
Put your pants on. Oh. Playtime's over, buddy.
Yep. So that's how it ends. So my thoughts is this, okay?
Yeah.
I don't think Johnny is going to die because she needs him. She needs an ally. So therefore, she's not going to torture him right then and there. She's not going to kill him. But he knows that his number is up because now he has no one backing him. He doesn't have Luca. He doesn't have anybody. And also, too,
he just has himself.
But also, too, she needs him alive because in order for this triad deal to happen with the drug, she needs him alive. Because now she's stuck with him because of Oz, which makes her even more pissed off. So, yeah. So now she's in this because of Oz. So now she needs Johnny Vitti alive. And, of course, this is also going to be her rising up to the power of being the mob boss that her father wanted her to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how in the previews it said Oz winds up saying, you know what? Sophia took care of this for us. We didn't have to do any of the heavy lifting. So he thinks. Because now,
this is gonna be a breeze.
Yeah, I can manipulate her just like I always do. No, you can't, Oz. It's not as easy as you think. Because now you also have the other family that does not like your ass.
Yes, the Maronis.
The Maronis are gonna be after you now. And also, too, that drug business is now part of their business as well. So, who do you go to? You don't have anybody.
Right.
Unless he can bullshit his way through the Maronis, which I highly doubt.
Right. I doubt it. Because that lady is like, no, I knew you were an asshole the second I saw you. Right. I told Sal, don't work with him.
Exactly. But no, he just had to work.
He just had to do it.
But that's where I'm going in with my theory is I'm thinking that because of the fact that Sophia is stuck with Johnny, because of Oz, she has, in order for the triad deal to work, he has to be alive. In order for the drug to actually be produced and also for everybody to get money, it has to go through that system.
Yeah.
So that's just my little two cents on it. But all in all, great episode. I really liked the episode.
It was really good.
Like, I like this. I like how it starts off really slow. And then it starts building it up even more.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get that tension towards the end of it, it just goes off on all cylinders.
Indeed.
So, any predictions for you or anything?
I'm afraid for Oz. I bet he thinks that, everything's going to be just fine. I get a manipulator again. I don't think it's going to be that easy, Oz. And I'm more so concerned for Victor. I know it was difficult for him. I wish he just took that bus to Georgia or wherever he was going. Just got out of there. Now he's in
right.
It. Like Oz said the last episode, you're in it now, kid.
You are in it for sure. Yeah. And I'm thinking that I'm gonna say this. Victor's going to die.
Yeah.
Victor is going to be, he's dead. He's going to die probably in episode 6 or 7.
I'm at the funeral stage now. I'm grieving.
Yep. I'm going to say 6 or 7. He's going to be dead. He's just another casualty.
Right.
Because number one, he's not a made man. He's not anybody. And at this point, two, Oz is not anybody either.
He's just...
Well, remember, he was a capo. He was someone of importance to the mob.
Yeah.
But now you're nothing because that whole family is dead. Sophia is now in charge and running things. So you're dead, dude. Like, there's no other way about it unless you can find, figure out a way to get the Maronis back on your side.
No, I'm not. I'm going to go to Batman.
Batman don't want you. But I just love the balance between everything, the leers that they're giving us through this whole entire season. I love how they show us, like, you know how we talked about, like, last episode where it was like, you know, Oz used to drive for me. And I'm glad, at first I'm like, I'm glad they didn't show it because of the fact of, it's like that little history of them having together. But just showing, like, a little small glimpse of Oz and the sneaky stuff he does was enough for me to be and that's perfect. You actually, Colin probably didn't have to dress up in the penguin outfit any more than he had to that day, just for those couple of scenes. And it gives the actress that plays Sophia to shine and show her acting chops and show that she can also carry the series too. It's not just all on Colin.
Exactly.
So that's something I really love about it. But yeah, all in all, great episode, solid episode. I'm not going to rate individual episodes or anything like that. I love every single bit of them. So my question for you guys is, what's your favorite scene in episode 4? What's your predictions in episode 4? Tell me in the comments below. Also, too, go on ahead. Talk to me on Spotify as well, because I love talking to you guys on Spotify. I've seen some comments and stuff like that that I've been sharing.
I didn't even know you could talk to people on Spotify. I'm behind.
You're today years old that you've just found out. But yeah, right. You can talk to people on Spotify. They'll comment on you. Download the Spotify Podcasters app. And what they'll do is you have to actually approve what they comment and stuff like that too. So I like the fact that it's not directly on there. So if you're a douchebag, I'm gonna delete your post. But if it's redeemable, I am gonna accept it. I am gonna talk to you. And I love geeking out with you guys. Or you can email me at movielovesunite@gmail.com as well for that as and too. Another thing too is we have our Anastasia interview that I did. That's probably gonna be dropping sometime Friday because I have to edit, put some stuff together for it, stuff like that. And yeah. And then I have some other stuff I'm trying to drop, some shorts from the interview. So, and then I'm actually trying to do something for the Patreon as well. I'm trying to do like a watch along for like old black and white horror movies as well. So yeah, that's going to be it as far as this show goes. Thank you, Pick a Flick, as always, for just joining me for this review. So anyways, guys, don't forget to smash the like button, smash the subscribe button. Also, to show Rossi some love at the Rossi's Clubhouse and also over here as well. She's sick tonight. That's why she wasn't able to do this review with us. So send her some good vibes as well in the comment section. And also, too, Dawn's going to try and come back probably next week. So smash that like button, smash the subscribe button, and we'll catch you guys on the next one. And thank you for everyone that has checked out our reviews. And always until next time, bye-bye.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.